And I said, "Sir, do you believe in gravity?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Can you see gravity?" He said, "No." I said, "Can you touch gravity?" He said, "No." I said, "Can you taste it?" He said, "No." I said, "Sir, then why do you believe in gravity?" He said, "Because I can feel the effects of gravity. Tonight, I cannot see God. I cannot reach out and touch Him, neither can I taste Him. But friends, when I get down on my knees, I can feel the effects of God." Hallelujah. As I look out across this congregation tonight, I cannot visibly see God. I cannot visibly touch the Holy Ghost. But friends, when I lift my hands, I can feel the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and feel that power tonight. Let's just lift our hands and feel that power tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. No, God, we cannot see You. Lord, we cannot physically touch You. But God, we can feel Your mighty presence in this place tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We can feel Your presence, Holy Ghost. We can feel Your power, Holy Ghost. We can feel You in this place. Oh, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Jesus, thank You, Jesus, thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, let's give the Lord a big hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah, thank You, God, thank You, God, thank You, God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight for a God that you can feel? Amen. A presence that's real. Something that you can come in and you feel the power begin to move. And you know you didn't ingest anything in your arm, and you didn't smoke anything, and you didn't lift up a cup to drink anything. All you did was lift up your hands and worship Him and honor Him and glory Him, and the power began to fall. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many has ever seen this man in your congregation? How many know who this is? This is a picture of a young man that was bound by drugs and by alcohol. Rioted on college campus. Took every type of drug that there was to take, looking for mind expansion, looking for peace, looking for answer. He could find no answer. But one day he came to a Pentecostal church, and it came to a Pentecostal altar, and something got a hold of his heart. He ran to that altar, and shortly after hitting the altar, God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. His life is filled with joy and peace and happiness. How do you know, Brother Ward? Because this is a picture of myself. This is what I used to look like before I met the Lord. And a lot of times something inside of me cringes and feels such shame. But something deeper inside says, "My son, all you have to remind you of those days is that photograph, because the rest has been washed under the blood of Jesus, never to be brought against you again." Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory! Glory! No matter where you've been or what you've done or where you've come from or what you're doing, I know a God that this book says can cleanse you, redeem you, wash you, and make you as white as snow. Hallelujah! Aren't you glad you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb tonight? Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give the Lord another big hand and just thank Him for His power. Glory. 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 Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He's the way maker. He is the way maker. Turn around and shake someone's hand tonight and say, He's the way maker, and you may be seated. Hallelujah. Sister Ward, do you have a song or a testimony tonight? You may be seated.
Praise the Lord. I didn't get to practice tonight, but nevertheless, I did say that I would sing if Brother Horn would play the piano or the guitar. I never practiced this, so just worship the Lord. But anyway, I'm the lamb the shepherd left the flock for. Give D. On the land, the set left couple. Give D. You heard it?
So many times I strayed away from Jesus. As a lamb that leaves the flock without a care. But the time had come when I got too far and stumbled. And the more I tried, the more I'd lose my way. I was out in the cold all alone, so in need when Jesus found me and He put His arms around me. Now I'll never be alone. I tried to climb the mountain, but tried in vain, thinking only of myself and my own gain. And then the shepherd came, and He found me in the pit of my sin. And from that moment, my life has never been the same. Now I'm back where I belong, and I'm so happy, 'cause I can hear my shepherd's voice all the time. And me, for this shepherd Jesus is a friend of mine. Oh, I'm the lamb the shepherd left the flock for. I was out in the cold. Oh, put His arms around me, and now I'll never be alone anymore. Oh, I'm the lamb the shepherd left His flock for. I was out in the cold. Oh, oh. So in need, when Jesus found me, and he put his arms around me, and now I'll never be alone anymore.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. I was the lamb the shepherd left the flock for. And I'm so glad that he looked for me when I was down and out and I could find no answer. When I was searching not only through drugs and alcohol, but searching through the world's major religions, searching for truth and searching for an answer. But you know, one day I found out religion didn't have the answer. No, sir. Theology didn't have the answer. But Jesus had the answer. Hallelujah. Not only did he have the answer, he was the answer. Glory. And I thank God that I found that answer tonight. Amen. We had a wonderful time today with your pastor and his good wife. And I might say that wherever I go, I've got a good report for the church at Rhode Island. Amen. Pastor Warren and his wife are just so precious. They are really precious people. And whether you realize it or not, you've got one of the greatest pastors in the world. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of preachers in the world. And we don't need any more preachers. Anyone can pick up a microphone and speak and preach. We don't need preachers. We need ministers. People that will minister to the needs of others. And Brother Warren has just ministered to our hearts since we've been with him. And you know, sometimes evangelists need to be ministered to. We came and he literally rolled out the red carpet for us, gave us a wonderful motel, took us out to a beautiful restaurant, and took us out to Plymouth Rock to see the Mayflower and all of these wonderful things. And we've just had a great time with them. Amen. And so I hope tonight that I can maybe help him out a little bit and preach to his church. Just ask that the Lord will give me something that might stir your hearts. We've certainly had a great time. Amen. So I just hope he asks us back again. I didn't say that to get asked back because he already said he was going to. So that's not why I said. Already knew I was coming back. But we love these people. Amen. And I want you to realize sometimes when you've got a pastor and you hear them and you see them service after service, you don't realize what you've got. Amen. Now, I can come in here and I can shout and dance and preach to you a little bit and I'm gone. But it takes a special man to be able to give you a foundation, to be able to stay here and to help you become rooted and grounded. And I believe that he's the man for this area. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to read to you a passage of Scripture tonight, if you would stand with me. In honor of the reading of the Word of God. And tonight I'm going to read from the book of Romans, the 7th chapter, verses 7 and 10. And I shall then proceed to read from the book of Genesis, the 2nd chapter, and the 15th verse. But before we go into the reading of the Word of God, I'm going to ask that Pastor Warren would bless this message tonight. Brother Warren, if you would.
Dear God, we thank you for your Word that's about to come forth. As the Apostle Paul said, we ask that it might have free course. That all men might have faith, for all men have not faith. We ask you to do so in Jesus' name. Is that all spirit? Anything and everything that's buried, the delusion of your spirit and your will are in this place at this time. But your will will be done, your purpose accomplished in Jesus' name.
And everyone said, reading from the book of Romans, the 7th chapter and the 7th verse, we read the words of the Apostle Paul. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin. Everyone say, I had not known sin. But by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Verse number 9. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, everyone say commandment. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. Everyone say unto death. Now let us turn to the book of Genesis, the second chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded. There we find that word again. Everyone say commanded. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Everyone say die. You may be seated. In the beginning, God created man from the dust of the earth. And he breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He placed the first man and first woman in the Garden of Eden, and said, thou mayest eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou mayest not eat of it. From the day that thou eatest thereof, he said, thou shalt surely die. Now, I want you to notice tonight that the tree of knowledge of good and evil did two things to Adam and Eve. Number one, it made them to know sin. Everyone say sin. And number two, it made them to know death. Everyone say death. Now, that's very important tonight that you catch this. This is the crux of the message. Number one, it made them to know sin. And number two, it made them to know death. Now, I'm going to skip back real quick to the book of Romans again, the 7th chapter and the 7th verse. And we're reading the words of the apostle saying, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. Now, I want you to notice that the first thing that the law did to the Apostle Paul was, number one, it made him to know sin. Everyone say sin. Now, we go down here to verse number 10. And the commandment. Notice that word commandment again. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. Everyone say death. Now notice, the second thing the law did to the Apostle Paul, it made him to know death. Number one, it made him to know sin. Number two, it made him to know death. Now we go right back to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil did two things for the Apostle Paul, or for the Adam and Eve. Number one, it made them to know sin. Number two, it made them to know death. Notice, the same thing that the law did for the Apostle Paul, the tree of knowledge of good and evil did for Adam and Eve. It made them to know sin, and it made them to know death. Now notice what God said. And the Lord God commanded. Commanded, what is a commandment? A commandment is a law. The word commandment, a law, had never been established before. A little child, he crawls into the kitchen, puts his hand into the cookie jar. Mother slaps that hand and says no. A commandment has been made, and a law has been established. This was the first law that was ever established. This was the first time God said no. So here we find that the tree of knowledge stands for the law. Now, what happened when they ate of the tree? Their eyes were enlightened, and they became as gods, knowing good and evil. The law shows us the difference between good and evil. But their eyes were enlightened. Now, notice what the psalmist David said. The psalmist David said, the law of the Lord is good, enlightening the eyes. So we come to this tree of knowledge of good and evil, and we find that it seems to be a prototype, a shadow of the law which was to come. But notice, there was a fruit on that tree. The tree is not the fruit. And the fruit is not the tree, but the fruit is the produce of the tree, or what the tree manifests or brings forth. What did the law produce? What did the law bring forth? The law produced conscience. Man never before had a conscience. Psychologists and psychoanalysts say that man's mental aberrations, man's mental problems come from a guilty conscience. Man becomes an alcoholic because of a guilty conscience. He turns to drugs because of a guilty conscience. He becomes neurotic because of a guilty conscience. But conscience never existed until the law. That child goes in the kitchen, crawls up to the cookie jar, his hand is flat, something says no. The next day, that child crawls back into the kitchen. He looks around to the right and to the left, and mommy and daddy's not around. So he goes to put his hand in the cookie jar, and something in his mind says no. Conscience conscience. Men never had conscience until a law was established. I began to look at this and I said, now wait a minute. Not only is there a tree of knowledge of good and evil, on the other side there's also the tree of life. Now the tree of life was the opposite of the law. The law was that rigid knowledge between good and evil, but now we come to the tree of life, which is the opposite. The tree of life, of mercy, of grace. And I began to look at these things and I said, God, this is a great revelation. I said, Lord, thank you for showing me that the tree of knowledge was a shadow of the law. Conscience was the fruit it produced. And the opposite of it was the tree of life, or grace. I said, but Lord, there's something that I don't understand. Hanging on that tree of life is a fruit. Now, the fruit is not the tree, and the tree is not the fruit. But the fruit is the produce of the tree, or what the tree manifests and brings forth. And I begin to think, what in the world did grace bring forth? What did grace produce? What did grace manifest? And I begin to think on this, and I couldn't find an answer. I fasted, I prayed, I fell on my face before God. I said, God, what is this fruit on the tree of life? I went to Bible commentaries, and I went to Stoffel's reference. I studied, I prayed, I went to pastors and evangelists and ministers trying to find out what this fruit was that hung on the tree of life, and I could not find an answer. One day I was ministering. I was at a certain church, and I was standing behind the pulpit, and I was ministering the Word of God. And I was talking about these things and in the book of Genesis, and right in the middle of my message, I asked the Lord, I came right up to the tree of life, and I said, God, what is this fruit that's hanging on the tree of life? And right behind the pulpit, the Lord spoke to me, and I'll never forget His words. I said, God, what is this fruit hanging on the tree? And the Lord spoke to me, and He said, my son, you only know one that hung on a tree, and that was Jesus Christ the righteous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you could have walked inside the Garden of Eden and walked over to the tree of life and took a hold of that fruit and plucked it down and bit into it and ate its flesh and drank its nectar, the Bible said you would have never died, but you would have lived forever. Jesus said, whosoever eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood shall never die, but you will live forever. Hallelujah. Why do you think when He sat down at the Passover table that He used the fruit of the vine? He could have used camel's milk. It was accessible in the Holy Land. He could have used goat milk. It was accessible in the Holy Land. But no, He used the fruit of the vine. Do you know the message He was trying to convey in using the fruit of the vine? What He was actually saying was this: I am the fruit of the tree of life, and the blood that goes through my veins, that is the fruit of the vine. And if you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you'll never die, but you will live forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a big hand tonight. Oh, God. You're going to have eternal life. You're going to have eternal life. You'll not taste of death. Oh, listen, I'm not preaching spiritual communion. I believe that communion is literal. But I believe there's a spiritual power behind the literal. Hallelujah. Now notice that fruit that was hanging on the tree. What is the most important part of the fruit? The most important part of the fruit, and I want to apologize tonight to all you grandmothers that love to make peach pie and apple pie. But God did not create fruits for you to make pies. And please don't misunderstand. Go right on making pies. That's fine. Go right on making pies. But pies are just a side effect of the fruit. The real important part of the fruit is the what? The seed. That fruit exists for one purpose and one sole purpose alone, and that's to be the carrier of the seed that is within it. Now, in that seed is the genetic blueprint for every tree that will ever grow out of that lineage. Inside that is every fruit that will ever sprout. And that fruit, the body of that fruit, is nothing more than a carrier of the seed. Now, what is the seed? Jesus told a parable one day. He said the sower went forth to sow seed. Some went on good ground and some went on bad ground. Later they said, Lord, what is this seed? He said, the seed is the Word of God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the, and the, was with God, and the Word was God. And it goes on and says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That body of flesh and bone and flesh and blood that walked the shores of Galilee, that body was the carrier of the seed within it. It was the carrier of the Word within it. When He walked upon this earth, inside that flesh was the seed, the Word. Now we go right back into the Garden of Eden. And hanging there on that tree was the fruit of the tree of life. But inside that fruit is the seed. How many has ever went by an apple tree and seen another apple tree growing out of the top of it? Doesn't happen, does it? You ever seen a pear tree grow out of the top of another pear tree? No, sir. That seed just doesn't sprout inside the fruit on top of the tree and begin to grow. Before that seed, before the power that's in that seed can be released, what has to happen? That fruit first has to, can't stay hanging in the tree. It first has to come down from the tree, plant itself in the earth, and through the death of that fruit, the power of that seed is released. People, Jesus did not stay hanging on that tree. But He came down from that tree and was planted in the heart of the earth. And through the death of that fruit, through the death of that body, the power of that seed was released. And when that stone was rolled away from that tomb, what came out of that tomb was not flesh and blood. It was not flesh and bone, but it was the pure, unadulterated Word of the living God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Now remember that the fruit is the fertilizer of the seed that's planted. And the fruit first has to die. That fruit came down from the tree of Calvary, was planted in the heart of the earth. And the power of that seed was released. The power of that seed began to go forth. Now notice, friend, when that seed is planted, what is it going to do? It's going to sprout and it's going to begin to grow. And that little tree is going to grow up and produce more fruit. Now wait just a minute. How many tonight has ever gone to an apple tree and picked the peach? How many has ever gone to a peach tree and picked an apple? You ever got a coconut off a banana tree or a banana off a coconut tree? Why not? Because the book of Genesis says every herb-bearing seed will produce after its own kind. In other words, you plant a peach seed, you're going to get a peach tree. You plant an apple seed, if it's a red delicious apple seed, friend, you're not going to get nothing off that tree but red delicious apples. Hallelujah. You plant whatever type of seed it is, it's going to produce the same kind of fruit that the seed before it produced. My friend, Jesus was the original seed. And if we're after that Word, friend, we're not going to produce anything less than what He produced. We're not going to be a martini drinking, cigar smoking, adultery making church, but we're going to produce the same fruit that Jesus produced. We're going to love like He loved. We're going to walk like He walked and talk like He talked and love like He loved. We're going to produce the same thing that He produced. We're going to be like Jesus. Hallelujah! 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 Why? Because every herb-bearing seed is going to produce after its own kind. You see somebody walking around with an old disgruntled look on their face, and they look like a hound dog that got into a gallon of lemon juice, and there's no happiness, no peace, no joy, and they live like the devil on Saturday night and come to church Sunday morning. Listen, friends, that's not the same fruit that the original seed produced. The original seed, when he began to produce that fruit, he always produce the fruit of love. Hallelujah. Peace and long-suffering. We're going to be just like the original. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Glory, glory. Now, glory. Let's just lift our hands and worship Him. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Hallelujah. 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 Now watch what happens when you plant a seed. That seed begins to sprout and grow, and it will begin to produce fruit just like the seed before it produced. And something happens to the fruit of that tree. Its fruit dies too. and more seed is planted, and more trees begin to grow. People say, Brother Ward, I've got the word. I've got it right here in the palm of my hand and in my heart, and I want it to multiply. I want to see souls saved, but I just can't seem to reach souls. You know why? Because you haven't died to flesh. You haven't died to self. You've got to die like that original fruit died. And when you begin to die, the power of your seed will be released. The power of your word will be released. And pretty soon that tree will begin to plant seeds. And that tree will begin to plant seeds. And there'll be a tree here and a tree here. And pretty soon you're going to look around and you know where you'll find yourself? Right smack dab in the middle of a garden. Now what was that man was kicked out of? Hallelujah. The very thing man was kicked out of, when we eat of the fruit of the tree of life, we're going to find ourselves right back in again. I believe there was a literal garden, but I believe there's a spiritual. It calls in the Song of Solomon, he said, my well-beloved is as a well-watered garden. He said in the book of Isaiah, he would water our bones like a well-watered garden. Hallelujah. I believe that the church of the living God needs to produce fruit, and then we'll find ourselves back in the Garden of Eden. Now watch. Before you can get back into the Garden of Eden, what would you have to do? What do you think the first thing would happen to you if you found the physical garden? What would you have to do to get back in? First of all, you'd have to find that door, wouldn't you? You'd have to find that entrance. Hallelujah. Somebody says, now who was that that said, I am the door? Now once we find that door, the Bible said there was a cherubim standing there, and they had flaming sword, and it turned every which way. Listen, before you can get in the garden, before you can get in the church, you got to go through the fire. John the Baptist said, there cometh one after me, whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. On the day of Pentecost, it came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the place where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Friend, you've got to go through the fire. But not only do you have to go through the fire, there's also a sword there. I said there's also a sword there that would turn every direction. You couldn't go to the right and escape it. You couldn't go to the left and escape it. You couldn't go down or up. Friend, you got to make it through the sword. You got to make it through the fire. And once you get inside the church, my friend, you've got a right to drink and to eat of his flesh and to eat of the fruit of the tree of life and live forever. Forever! 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 And you'll never be cast out because you've made it through the fire and you've drunk of that nectar. Aren't you glad tonight that you've got eternal life? Aren't you glad tonight when you laid down this body, you've got another home to go to? Hallelujah! 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 Now, what is this seed? Let's go just a little bit further with the seed. What is the seed? We find that the Bible says that Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. How many Holy Ghosts are there tonight, people? Are you sure there's not 15? How many hands would say there's 15? Would you say there's 30 or 35? There's how many Holy Ghosts? There's one. Are you sure of that? Now the Bible said the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. How many have the Holy Ghost tonight? Now, how many Holy Ghosts are there? There's just one. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and you've got the Holy Ghost. If there's only one Holy Ghost, then that means the same Holy Ghost that overshadowed Mary is the same Holy Ghost that's living in you tonight. Now, if you've got the same, now watch what happened to Mary. 9 months later, she brought forth the Word. That was Jesus. John 1 and 1. 9 months later, she produced the Word. Friend, if you've got the same Holy Ghost that Mary had, you're not going to produce anything less than Mary produced. You're going to produce the Word. You're going to bring forth the Word. Now, here was Mary. And the Bible says that the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. Didn't come in her. The Holy Ghost did not come in her until the second chapter of Acts. She was one of those that received the Holy Ghost in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost had not yet come in her, but He overshadowed her. Jesus had not yet been given birth. There was no birth, but He was conceived in her. Wasn't born, He was conceived. You know, a lot of times we'll be preaching, and Who will volunteer to help me in a demonstration tonight? Some brother in the church. Hallelujah. Jump up real quick. Don't everyone jump up once. Hallelujah. Brother Baker, now you're going to be an alcoholic tonight. We're just going to pretend. It's good fun. Rub your nose and make it red. He's not really an alcoholic. He may be drinking the new wine, but not the old wine. But we're going to pretend tonight that he's got an awful problem. And I'm preaching, and he walks up, and there's this great burden on his shoulders. Just look out there, brother, and look real burdened. Look real burdened. Come on, look real bad. Come on, you can look worse than that. Bend over. You're laughing. He's still drunk. Come on, look burdened and look real bad. Oh, don't he look bad? He looks so downcast and bad, this burden on his shoulders. But as I begin to preach, not touching, I'm up here, and he was back there. And something began to span that distance and began to move on him. Something began to overshadow him. And he kneels down at the altar. Would you kneel down, brother? Hallelujah, brother. Come up here and help me pray with him. He's kneeling at the altar. And you know, a lot of times, and I know you don't do it in this church, but I've seen a lot of churches where they run up, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And you know, I think sometimes they get the Holy Ghost in self-defense. You know? And we get up here and the Bible says that you cast devils out of them. You don't beat it out of them. His brother's up here praying, you know, and all of a sudden this burden comes off from his shoulders. And he stands up and he looks so happy. Turn around and look happy, brother. Now look how happy he is. Doesn't he look happy now? Does he look happy? Does he look happy? Now he repented. He repented. And let's correct something. He didn't really get the Holy Ghost because he didn't speak in tongues yet. He has just repented. But this burden came off his shoulders. And doesn't he look better now? A big smile on his face. Huh? He just kind of repented, told the Lord his problems. Sometimes all you have to do is tell someone what's on your heart and you feel a whole lot better. Well, this brother has come up and he took this burden off his shoulders and he feels so much better until Bertha comes up. Did you get the Holy Ghost? He don't even know what the Holy Ghost is yet. And he shakes his head, no. Too bad you didn't get nothing. Who are you to tell him he didn't get anything? No, he didn't get born again, but the seed was planted. No, he didn't get the Holy Ghost, but he was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Oh, but Brother Ward, you must be born again. Yes, you've got to be born again, but you ask any leading obstetrician, before a child can be born, it first has to be conceived. Before there can be a born-again experience, the Word must be conceived in the heart of a man or a woman. Hallelujah! 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 Before that birth, before that cry can take place, something has to be planted. Something has to be germinated. There has to be an overshadowing of the Holy Ghost and a fire. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let's give the Lord a great big hand tonight. Thank you, Brother Baker. Thank you, Brother Baker. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory, 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 glory. We've got too many people that when someone comes to the altar, we immediately try to get them to speak in tongues. I'm sorry, forgive me, but there's more than just bringing a chair up here and setting somebody down in it and saying, stay after me, mama, 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 mama. I've seen them do it, and I've heard of churches that do it. They tell them what to say and how to say it, but the Bible didn't say there would be a bunch of mama, mama, and a bunch of mumbo jumbo, but it said you would talk in other tongues. And the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Hallelujah. You can't be taught how to speak in tongues. You can't be taught how to be born again. You've got to be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Something's got to be planted. Something's got to be buried in your heart. And when the Spirit begins to water that seed, one day that seed will begin to sprout. And it'll move the stone away from that tomb. And friends, the power of that seed will come forth. And you'll begin to talk in other tongues as the power of God gives the utterance. Hallelujah! Oh! thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, but Brother Warder, I know the Word from Genesis to Revelation. Friends, it's more than just having the Word. Oh, but Brother Warder, I got the Spirit. It's more than just having the Spirit. Jesus told the woman at the well that God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's not enough to just be able to quote the Bible. You've got to have the anointing. And it's not enough to just have the Spirit. I've seen people shout all over the church and didn't know Acts 2:38. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And Jesus said they must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, Brother Ward, the Word, listen, the Word alone won't get the job done. And I can prove it to you. Now, what did we establish tonight that Jesus was? In the beginning, He was what? The Word. He was the Word. For 30 years, the Word walked with us, and not one blinded eye was open. He was here for 33 and a half years, and for the first 30 years of His ministry, He didn't heal blinded eyes. 12 years old, He went into the temple. He spoke the Word, but He didn't heal the lepers, did He? He didn't cleanse the sick. He didn't cause lame legs to walk, but He was the Word. Now here we find for 30 years the Word with us. He goes down into the water. The heavens open up. And here comes the Spirit. Now we know who He is. And we know what that is that dwells in Him. But here comes the symbolism. Here comes the bodily evidence. Now you say, Brother Ward, why did that dove come in a bodily, physical evidence? Was it a bodily, physical evidence to prove there was more than one God? No. Why was He baptized in water? He was baptized in water not because He was filled with sin, but He was baptized in water because He was our example. In other words, if He had to be baptized in water, then we've got to be baptized in water. Now here comes the Spirit, this bodily, physical evidence of the Holy Ghost, not to prove that there was more than one God, but to prove this. If He had to have a physical evidence of the Holy Ghost, then when we get it, we've got to have a physical evidence of the Holy Ghost. Now watch, when the heavens opened up, the Spirit came and the heavens opened and the voice of God spoke. Friend, when you get the Holy Ghost, the voice of God is going to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Now notice, here in the water was what? That was, according to the book of Leviticus, there had to be two main sacrifices for sin. There were many sacrifices, but the two main was a lamb and a turtle dove. A lamb and a dove. Friends, it all ended in the water baptism of Jesus. There in the water was the lamb. He looked up and there came the dove. Hallelujah. And for the first time in history, the lamb and dove sacrifice came together. Now, I'm kind of hurrying through this, but I want to get some main points across. What was this in the water? We come right back to the original thesis. This was the Word. Everyone say the Word. Have you ever noticed the first time the pure Word was ever proclaimed to the world? It was proclaimed in the waters of baptism. Hallelujah. My, that's enough to make any Acts 2:38 saint shout. There in the water was the Word. He looked up and there came the Spirit. The Spirit and the Word came together. Now notice, the Word was with us for 30 years. There were no healings. There were no miracles. But now the Spirit and the Word comes together. And the Bible said Jesus went out into Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And blinded eyes were opened. And lame legs walked. And lepers were cleansed. Because the Word and the Spirit were working together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, we've got to plant the seed, and the Spirit will water the seed. We go out trying to get people born again. But friend, all we've got to do is sow. All we got to do is sow. You don't have to run up to someone and grab a hold of their tie and scream and yell at them and tell them what they've got to do. Friend, just sow the Word in love. We went to a restaurant today, and they brought us some really good food. Amen. And what was that? I ate a scallop. Ate a plate of scallops. And when that waitress brought that plate of scallops out, they were hot. They were fried. If she'd taken that plate, walked up to me and threw them in my face, I'd have got up and walked out. But she didn't. She came down and set those sizzling scallops in front of me. Mmm, my mouth begin to water. Listen, friends, we can take this word and throw it at someone, and it's going to repel them. But oh, when we put it sizzling in front of them, my, their mouth is going to water, and they're going to desire it. Sow the seed, and let the Spirit water it. My baby sister was raised. Her name was Tamara. She was raised in a godly household. She was raised. On the back of the motorcycle, Brother Baker will know where this is, Route 33, that goes through Lancaster, Ohio. And as she was going down Route 33 on the back of that motorcycle, a semi stopped abruptly in front of them. The driver had his head turned, crashed into the semi, and her body went flying through the air. The ambulance came to the scene of the accident. They found the young man. They were putting him in back of the ambulance, and he began to come to. He said, "Where's the young girl that was with me?" They said, "Sir, there's no young girl with you." He said, "Oh, yes, there was." They began to look around, and completely on the other side of the freeway, in a ditch, they found my baby sister's mangled body covered with blood. I got a phone call in Columbus, Ohio. They said, "Come to OSU Hospital as quickly as you can." They said, "There's been an accident, and your sister's neck is broken." I rushed to the hospital, and no sooner did I get to the hospital, but the family came running to me, and they said, "Her neck is broken, and the doctors have given her 2 or 3 days at the very most to live." And as I heard that she only had just a few days to live, I began to think, God, even though she goes the way of the grave, it's not too late for her to receive the Holy Ghost. It's never too late. It's never too late. She had been baptized. And I said, God, somehow work a miracle before she goes out into eternity. God, let her receive the Holy Ghost. You see, we can push God off, and in an instant time, we can go out into eternity without a chance. But the few days that she lingered here in this world, I knew that she was lingering for a purpose. And I said, God, give her the Holy Ghost. I walked into the room, and she was lying in there on a hospital cot, and her head was in a neck brace, and her hair that had never been cut was shaven, and her face was covered with dried blood where she was bleeding internally, and it was coming out the side of her mouth and dry. Her arm was mangled and twisted, and her head was swollen. It looked like twice its original size. I walked in and I looked at my little sister lying there like that, and people, a million memories began to flood me. I'm talking about my little sister that I grew up with. And I remembered when we were little children playing together, and now here she was at the threshold of death. I walked over, and my wife and I, we looked at her, and I spoke to the doctor, and I said, "Sir," I said, "can I lay hands on her head? I just want to touch her head. My wife and I, we want to pray for her." I said, "Can we do that?" He said, "Yes," he said, "you can do that, but remember this one thing. She will not be able to speak one word, and neither will she be able to hear one word that you speak." That's exactly what he said. She'll never be able to hear one word that you speak, nor will she be able to speak one word in return. We walked over, my wife and I, we laid our hands on her. We didn't get loud, we didn't get boisterous. We just said a simple prayer of faith. And I said, "God, fill her with the Holy Ghost." And as we began to pray, I looked real close. In the corner of her eye, I saw a tear begin to form. People, I don't care what those doctors say. My baby sister heard that prayer. She heard that prayer. With all my heart, I know she heard that prayer. We continued praying, and pretty soon that tear got just a little bit bigger, and it came down her cheek. And then there was another tear, and another, and I looked, and it seemed like her lips were moving, and I bent over, and I heard her say, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus." We continued praying, and a few seconds later, she opened up her mouth and began to talk in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my, my. She was talking in tongues, and she lifted up that little crippled hand and opened up her mouth and said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I looked over at that doctor, and he was standing over there with his mouth open. He ran up to me. He said, Mister, I want to shake your hand. I thought, Mister, you need to put your hand in the hand of a man from Galilee. Oh, listen, friends. When I walked out of that hospital room, I felt like shouting down the aisle. I felt like dancing. And I think maybe I did do a jig or two. Hallelujah. I know there was joy. I was praising God. I was thanking God because my sister was filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I walked out of that hospital ready to let her go. Ready because I knew now that she was going to paradise. I knew now she was ready to meet her Maker. I knew now she was ready for the kingdom. Went home that night, and for the first time in a long time, I slept so peaceful. Woke up the next morning. Went over to my mother-in-law's house. And I was sitting there on the couch talking, and the phone rang. My mother-in-law answered it, and she turned around and she looked at me kind of strange. She held out the phone and she said, Brother Ward, she said, it's for you. It's about your sister. It's the hospital. I'm sorry, people, that I stand up here and preach faith. And then in an hour of tragedy, feel so much fear. I'm sorry, but I'm human. You know, we can have faith and we can believe God. When we lose someone that we love, it's hard to let go. It's hard to let go. And I sat there. She said, oh, you're going to answer. And I couldn't move. I stood up and I looked at the phone for a few seconds. And it seemed like a million memories flooded me. I remember my little baby. I remember the first day they brought her home from the hospital. I was just a little tiny boy, a little girl, and they put her in this little bassinet. And I was so excited, I ran up and I grabbed hold of her nose and I twisted it. And my mom come in and I got reprimanded for her, but I wasn't, you know, she was my little sister. I'd never seen a nose that little before. And I remember that when we got a little bit older, my father, who had at one time been a wealthy man, he went out of the will of God, lost everything that he ever owned, and we were plunged into poverty. And I remember living in a little two-room, maybe three-room shack. And I remember going out and digging coal, and we'd bring it in, and we'd put it in the old pot-bellied stove. In the morning for school, I'd sit there, and this side would be getting warm, and this side would be freezing to death. I'd turn around warm this side, and this side would freeze to death. And then we would go out and we would pump the water. We'd keep a bucket to prime the pump. And we'd take a bucket of water, put it on the pot-bellied stove, get it warm, throw it in the little tiny galvanized tub. And we'd have a quilt lined up in chairs in front of us so the people in the other room couldn't see us bathing. And by the time we got one bucket warm and threw it in, we got another warm. The first bucket was cold. And I remember my sister and I, we would go to sleep at night, and my dad would say, now, I don't want you talking. We'd be whispering and giggling. He'd say, no more talking. And we figured out a way that we could communicate, and I would reach over and I would grab her hand, and I would squeeze it once for yes and twice for no. And we would talk that way. I remember when she was just a little girl, she called me, couldn't say, my name's Curtis Ward. She couldn't say Curdy. She said Putty. Now, and all these things, for some reason, come through your mind, you know. And I stood up, and I looked at that phone. And the little girl that called me to me, I didn't want to hear what they had to say. But somehow, somewhere, I found the strength. And I walked across the room. I picked up the phone and I put it to my ear and I opened my mouth to answer. And I couldn't. I didn't want to hear it. I just plain simply didn't want to hear it. But finally I stuttered and I managed to say hello. a voice on the other end said, "Is this Mr. Ward?" And I said, "Yes, it is. Are you Tamara's brother?" And I said, "Yes, I am." They said, "Well, this is OSU Hospital, and we've called to inform you that early this morning, your sister regained full consciousness. We don't understand it, but she's not going to die. She's going to live." That was 10 years ago. She's still talking in tongues. She's still shouting the victory. She's still living for God. She's still healed in the name of Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Would you stand and worship the Lord tonight? Stand and worship the Lord tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. What happened, Brother Ward? I'll tell you what happened. That seed was planted years ago. And the one that planted the seed looked at her as a sinner and said, "I didn't do any good. She's not born again. She's not received the Holy Ghost." But all that seed was planted. That seed was planted. And as she lay there unconscious on that hospital bed, the Lord began to touch her. And as she began to repent, that Spirit watered that seed. And that seed came forth. Oh, listen, there may be many people. You'll knock on their door. You'll witness to them. And they may slam the door in your face. But friend, before that door closes, you've got a seed planted. You've got a seed planted. You've got a seed planted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Warren. Pastor Warren, there's been many that's come to this church and they've turned around and they've walked out again. There may be hundreds that have walked out. There may be just a few that have walked out. I don't know. But no doubt they have come and they have left. But I want you to know that before they left, a seed was planted. A seed was planted. A seed was planted. Oh God, let us be sowers of the seed. Let us be sowers of the word. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, my. Hallelujah. 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 I want every eye closed tonight, every single eye in this place. Saint or sinner, 5 years old or 95 years old, every eye closed. I'm going to ask those of you that are filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in His name, ready to go when Jesus comes, would you lift up your right hand? Now keep it up. Keep it up for just a few moments. You know you're going to go when Jesus comes. Don't put it up if you don't know. Don't put it up if you've not been baptized in Jesus' name. If you've never spoken in tongues, please do not lift up your hand. I look across this congregation. I see a few hands that are not lifted. And you're telling me that you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. You're not ready to go. Tonight I speak to you that are not lifting your hands. Would you come? Would you come? You may open your eyes, put your hands down, or keep them lifted in prayer as you see fit. But this altar is open. This altar is open. The seed has been planted. And now I hear the sound of abundance of rain. I hear the sound. I hear raindrops beginning to fall. I feel the presence of the Lord. Will you allow that seed to sprout tonight? Will you allow it to sprout? Jesus breaks every fetter. He breaks every fetter. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Let the musicians come forward. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Give me the key of C if you would. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. If He can do this for me, what can He do for you? If He can do this for me, what can He do for you. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet is the sound, let's sing, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Who was blind, but now I see. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. I'm about to lose my voice. Will you sing with me? Praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Glory, every eye closed again.